Read in Revelation chapter 20, please. Revelation 20. And verse 11. It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them." No place to put their feet down. Great issues are going to be settled, or have been settled. That's why this throne is so great. Verse 12 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." Doesn't really make any difference what you might obtain in life or how great the world might think you are or popular you might be in the class where you go at school. God says you're going to stand there. Small ones and the great ones are going to stand before God. Well, the books are going to be opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. Not to see if they're going to get in heaven or get into hell. It's to show that their works missed the mark. That all their righteousness were nothing but filthy rags. And I couldn't make it without Jesus. "The sea gave up the dead which are in it, even those that are eaten by the sea lice, their bodies will be brought up." Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man, according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Which simply means that death then is not annihilation, because there has to be a first death before the second death. And if the first death, which is physical death, is annihilation, then there would be no need to talk about a second death. This is the spiritual separation from God for eternity. Verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." What finality? Chapter 21. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Now that's all I'd like to read. Really, you know, there's a lot of things that are very startling as we read the Bible. We've been already hearing some things tonight about sin. God hates sin. And I suppose one of the great sins today that people are committing is a sin of pride. Damnable pride will always put the good side out, even if the inside is turning upside down. And God is out to break man's pride, humble him before him, and to save his soul. Isn't that good news? Really, there are 32 thrones in Revelation. And there are two thrones which are the throne. One is in chapter 4 where God sits. Because nobody could open that sealed book, the Lamb comes and takes it. God gives it to him. That's a throne of a rainbow around it. a throne of beautiful jewels, a throne of mercy, a throne of grace, a throne that's open tonight. But when we come to this throne, we find it is the same thing, the throne. It is the throne. Because here we find the Lord Jesus Christ. He sits on his throne. All judgment has been committed unto the Son. And so he is going to judge at this great white judgment throne. Great because the issues dealt with are very solemn. It's going to be you and your sin. White because of his righteousness and his purity. And the earth and the heaven as we know it now are going to be wiped away. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Positions in life are going to be stripped. There's only going to be unbelievers that are going to stand before that great white judgment throne. Today, tonight, there are souls that have lived and died on planet Earth. And tonight they're in hell. And they're in conscious torment. And they're never going to get out of there until they meet Christ at the great white judgment throne. They rejected him in life, but now they're going to meet him. And as they stand before that great white judgment throne, they're going to find out that there's a lake of fire. It's referred to in the Bible as Gehenna, and it's referred to in the likeness of a place outside of Jerusalem, which was a place outside the dung gate, a place where refuge and dead dogs and even bodies that nobody cared to have any time with, maybe people of the street or something like that nobody had a care for, were thrown in there, and it was burning all the time. The fire never went out 24 hours a day because of the stench. They had to keep the fire burning. And Jews well knew what Gehenna was. And it's the same word here. Whosoever was not written and was not found written in the book of life was cast into Gehenna, the lake of fire. But the fire is not quenched, and where it never goes out. Are you going to be there? I want to speak to you tonight as somebody who is speaking as a dying man to dying people. You might be dead before I am. Last Easter, I was preparing to go to Newfoundland, and just before I was to go, something struck me. I didn't know what it was. My wife thought it was the flu. Stayed in bed all day, and then about 8 o'clock at night, or 9 o'clock at night, I decided, well, I feel well enough, I'll go to Newfoundland. And so I made a journey I didn't know. All through that trip, I met with my good friend and my good brother and companion of labor, Brother Brian Funston, who had left sad circumstances in his wife's family, who had lost her father. And we traveled together. And if you ever go to Newfoundland and our brother Brian is there, you'll know what it is to travel. We visited 11 assemblies. We visited the sick. We visited people. We slept here and there, and we ate whatever came. It was a good trip. But I knew then that I wasn't feeling well. In fact, I said, look, I think maybe we better go back to Eastport where he lives, and we'll just take a little spell for a day or two and get ready for the conference. I didn't know. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know. There's something working in your body that's going to take you on to death. And you don't know, there might be something that's going to be coming very shortly into your life. Some way by an accident, you're going to be hurled into eternity. What about it then? What difference does it make then what you are going in for or what you're doing, it doesn't make any difference now, does it? Preparation for eternity is the only thing that really matters. Isn't that right? Nothing else makes any difference. It doesn't matter. Now, you're not ready tonight. You understand what Jesus is saying here? He's sitting on that throne. He's offering grace and mercy and salvation tonight as we've been hearing. But on this throne, there is no grace and there is no mercy. Your name is not found there. It's not written. And you're cast into the lake of fire. Now, don't argue with God tonight. You say, oh, well, that religious thing, I'm not just ready for it yet. A girl named Margaret said that to a doctor who was a Christian. Beautiful girl. He says, I remember when she got married. And he said, I remember Margaret coming to me from time to time, and she married a lawyer. She had everything in this material world to offer. But then her husband, he got very taken up with his law practice, and the cocktail parties and things went on, and the family life began to suffer, and then the husband and wife relationship began to suffer, and next thing you know, one of those things happened. There was a divorce. And in order to try to escape this, she wouldn't listen to this Christian doctor. She escaped through some talents of her own. She took up teaching, and then she took up some paintings and so on, and she went after that. And she never got satisfied. And then one day she took up with an Eastern cult. And she went so far as to go to India that she might meet personally this Gra, whatever. And once she was over there, she was stricken with cancer. And she came back to this religious doctor. The saved doctor, Christian doctor. And she was in an awful way. You see, everything was different now. You would think naturally, well, certainly she would listen to something that God had to say. She says, I don't know. I don't want to get involved with God. She had said previously, I'm not ready for this God thing yet. And I believe, as far as I know, that's the way she died. You're trifling tonight with your life, your soul, and with eternity. If you die tonight in your sins, you die without a Savior. I want to point out a few things about this eternity. I want you to remember that in this place of the lake of fire, there are some things that are excluded. There's no hope there. No hope. You might wish to be turned into nothing if I was just obliviated. But there's no hope. No hope. And I see souls in that lost caverns of the damned. And as they mingle with one another in their torment, they're saying, no hope. No hope. No hope. That's how God views men and women in their sins and the rejection of their love. The rejection of the Savior who died for them. God puts a high price on the death of Christ. It cost the blood of His only Son to save your soul. He took every guilty, filthy sin you ever committed. And I'll tell you, dear unsaved one, if you reject that loving Savior, there's no hope. It's excluded. Excluded forever. But wait a minute, is there any relief? Maybe just a moment. Somehow or another, there must be some relief. There's no relief. Forever. Telling about a story of a man, young fellow that I knew when I first got saved, named John. Very intelligent young fellow, and I got in contact with him, and he could overwalk me in anything as far as intelligence were concerned, but he couldn't get over the simple faith that we had in Christ. And he became very interested. So much so that the last night I talked to him outside of our house, he leaned up against the car, and I can see him yet underneath the globe of the street lamp. He folded his arms and he says, "You know, George, I know you've got something, and I know what you're saying is true. But it's not for me just now." I said, "Well, John," I said, "what is it?" He said, "Well," he said, I've got college," and he said, "I'm shooting for the high," and he said, "the high 10 are going to take a world tour." He said, "I want to miss it." And he said, "I think this will involve too much, and I won't be able to, maybe afterwards." So John went away like the rich young ruler. He was sorrowful, but not saved. I went to Newfoundland after that, and when I was in Newfoundland, my mother sent me a letter, and it was a clipping, a newspaper clipping. And I read the letter, and then I read the newspaper clipping, and I went upstairs. We're living underneath the hall. Brother Harris, an older preacher, and when I went upstairs to a little tiny room, in a little rat hole of an office, if you want to call it that, and I read the clipping, and I saw his picture. Depressed, cast down, went out and bought a .22 rifle and some bullets, and he went up to the bathroom and locked the door and put one right through here. He died instantly. I fell on my knees and I said, "Oh, John, what have you done? What have you done?" And I think, friend, tonight, as I think about that young man, as far as we know, having made no commitment to Jesus Christ, he's there. And I think I can hear his voice. "What have I done? Oh, what a fool I was. I could have been saved. I should have been saved. But I turned down the offer of God's salvation and now I'm lost. Lost. And lost forever. A place of godless people. Nobody knows God in the lake of fire. The rivers never run more truly to the ocean than sin runs to the lake of fire." Are you running with your sins in life without a Savior to death and the lake of fire? "Whosoever's name was not found in the book of life, written in the book of life, was cast in or hurled into the lake of fire." Someone would say to me tonight, "Well, I don't know. Isn't there something about being one of the elect?" I tell you tonight, God isn't asking you to worry about whether you're one or not the one. God is telling you tonight that he's got a big word. It's called whosoever. It says that God so loved this world, and you're part of this world. And part of your life is a sin that's in this world. He gave his only begotten son. God had only one son. And he gave him for you. And whosoever means you. Believeth in him. That is Jesus Christ, and receives him as Savior, and is satisfied with the work that he accomplished on the cross. God is satisfied. I am satisfied. All Christians are satisfied. God says, "Are you satisfied, sinner, that all your sins are on Jesus Christ?" He says, "All right, you'll never perish. You'll have everlasting life." That's the whosoever he wants you to think about tonight. But whosoever rejects that Savior, it's quite obvious, their name cannot be in the book of life. It just can't be there. How do I find out whether it's there or not? "Whosoever will may come and take the water of life freely." That's what it says. That's what God says I want you to be concerned about tonight, or the devil will trap you with theology and damn your soul in hell forever. Don't do it. Don't do it. But I just want to think for a few minutes as we draw to a close. Another side, a good side. And maybe as we think a little bit about this, you'll get the reality of it. I enjoyed the reality of it. I've enjoyed the reality of it more since I found out that the doctors say that I have cancer than I ever have before. In fact, I'm going to tell you a little something now. Today, when I was lying in bed, and I was thinking, I'm not an emotional man, but I wept like a little child. I said, why were you weeping? Over lost souls? Over the fact you're going to die? No, I was weeping because I thought, I'm going to see Jesus. And I was weeping with joy. I don't know when, I might live a long time yet, but just that thought. And I was just thanking the Lord so much. There was a time in my life when He saved my soul. And I was grateful. Just think of it. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. People are thinking everything in this world and they're trying to think something up there in that in that atmosphere, aren't they? Billions of dollars worth. God says, I'm going to wipe it out. There's going to be no remembrance of that. There's going to be no sea there. Sea has the secrets, the depths of secrets, and it's gloomy. The sea means separation. The sea is restless. God says it's not going to be there. And a new heaven and a new earth. A holy city. Beautiful city. Heaven's a wonderful place. Gates of pearl. Beautiful precious stones. Gold. And so spacious is going to be that city that it's just amazing the number of people that are going to be able to be contained in it. Far beyond our thought. I'm looking forward to that city. And I'm looking forward to that new heaven and new earth because God is going to dwell with men. A great voice out of heaven, the tabernacle of God is with men. God says, I love men. I want men. I want to save sinners in this world. I want to take them out of the clutches of Satan. I want to take them away from this ungodly scene. I want to bless them. I want to love them. And I want them to be with me. And I want them to be my people. And I want to be their God. I want to dwell with them. We're not going to be playing harps up there either. It's like a story that's so good it'll never, never finish. And He's going to pull out that big divine handkerchief. Isn't that nice? And He's going to wipe away all those tears from their eyes. Wouldn't you like to go there? You do some weeping, and if you haven't, as you're a young person, you're going to do some before this world is through. It's filled with tears. Tears when you separate from a loved one. Tears because you don't think you're going to make it. Tears because of a broken heart. Tears over the family. Tears over the way you're treated. Tears because of sin. God says they're all wiped away. There isn't going to be any tears. There should be no more death there. Nobody's going to die. Nobody's going to worry about death. Nobody's going to be afraid of death. It's not there. You can't find it. Hey, where's death? It's not here in heaven. Never going to be there. Isn't that lovely? We who have loved ones in heaven, just think of that. We won't go through that again, will we? That'll be all past. Sorrow? What a sorrow this poor old world was. Crying, neither shall there be any more pain. And I thought about that too. And I'm sure some here have more than once. No pain. Nothing to rack those ribs or go through that stomach or head. No more pain. Former things are all passed away. Would you like to go? Wouldn't you like to be there? You know, when I think about it, I just say, yes, Lord, I'm ready to go. I'd love to be there. What a place. You see, when I think about these verses too, I also think about the tears from their eyes. It's going to be weeping in hell. When I think about the death, there's that second death, eternal separation from God. I think of that pain in hell. I think of those former memories that will never be wiped out. I think of the Christian's children. I think of Jesus when he went into Capernaum, how often. Or even Jerusalem, I would have gathered thee as a hen that gathered chicks, and you would not. I think of the privilege Capernaum had. He said, they've been exalted to heaven with the visitation of the Savior and the miracles and the oracles of God. And their torment is going to be worse than that in Sodom and Gomorrah, which was filled with homosexuals and immorality. Think of that, Christian child, you who are brought up. Christian home. Those that you wouldn't have anything to do in this life because of your upbringing, you'll be with them forever. The very lowest of the earth in their sin. And you who pride yourself because of your moral, probably your righteousness or whatever it is, will be all together. I'll tell you, to whom much is given shall much be required. And you've received a lot of light. Christian's child, God's going to hold you accountable for that if you die in your sins. Heaven is going to have a character of righteousness. No unrighteousness there. And the righteousness that we must have in order to get into heaven is the righteousness of Christ. And if we don't have the righteousness of Christ, we're never going to be there. The God of this world, Satan, that blinds the minds of them that believe not, he's not going to be there. There's no false teaching there. There's no evil there. There's no goodbyes there. There's happiness. There's angels. There's Jesus. And there's service. And most of all, we're going to see his face. When we arrive in that destiny, because we all have a destiny either in heaven or hell. We have a destiny through Jesus Christ. And we're going to just bow right down to his feet so willingly. What a day that'll be. Will you be with us? I want to read a little poem and we're going to close. It's always kind of touched my heart. Maybe speak to you a little bit tonight. Took place in the first quarter of the century, of this century really, on a gloomy Saturday morning in the dead winter. She died in a commercial hospital in Cincinnati, a young woman of 22. She had once possessed beauty and charm, flattered and sought for the charm of her face, a beautiful girl, 22, brought up in a nice home, had every advantage, all the breaks in life, if you want to put it that way, that a mother and father could give a nice, pretty girl. The pride of respectable parents, and she made that first long, wrong step. And that was a sad beginning. Same old story over and over again. She went down. Down, down, down. She yielded to sin. And Satan proved the beginning of her downward course. She got captured. That innocency of childhood and modesty soon disappeared. She found herself out in the street. An outcast. And amongst her scanty personal belongings was found a manuscript and a poem called The Beautiful Snow. It was published in the National Union, which was a paper, and it touched the hearts of many. And I'd like to read it. Maybe not all of it, but part of it. In the light from the face, it sparkled the eye, and even the dogs with a bark and a bound snap at the crystals that eddy around. The town is alive, and its heart is aglow to welcome the coming of the beautiful snow. How the wild crowd goes swaying along, hailing each other with humor and song. How the gay sleighs like meteors flash by, bright for a moment, then lost to the eye. Ringing, swinging, dashing they go over the crest of the beautiful snow. Snow so pure, when it falls from the sky, to be trampled in mud by the crowd rushing by. To be trampled and tracked by thousands of feet, till it blends with the horrible filth in the street. Once, I was pure as the snow, but I fell like the snowflakes from heaven to hell. Fell to be trampled as filth on the street, fell to be scoffed, to be spit on and beat, pleading, cursing, dreading to die, selling my soul to whoever would buy. Dealing in shame for a morsel of bread, hating the living and fearing the dead. Merciful God, have I fallen so low, and yet I was once like this beautiful snow. Once I was fair as the beautiful snow, with an eye like its crystals, a heart like its glow. Once I was loved for my innocent grace, flattered and sought for the charm of my face, father, mother, sister, all. God and myself, I've lost but my fall. The various wrecks that go shivering by will make a wide sweep lest I wander too nigh. For of all that is on or about me, I know there is nothing as pure but the beautiful snow. How strange it should be that this beautiful snow should fall on a sinner with nowhere to go. How strange it would be when the night comes again, if the snow and the ice struck my desperate brain, fainting, freezing, dying alone, too wicked for prayer, too weak for my moan, to be heard in the crash of the crazy town, gone mad in the joy of the snow coming down, to lie and to die in my terrible woe, with a bed and a shroud of the beautiful snow. And then later on was added by a Christian these words. Helpless and foul as the trampled snow, sinner despair not, Christ stoopeth low. To rescue the soul that is lost in sin, and raise it to life and enjoyment again. Groaning, bleeding, dying for thee. The crucified hung, though accursed, on the accursed tree. His accents of mercy fall soft in the ear. There is mercy for thee. He'll hear thy weak prayer. O God, in the stream that for sinners did flow, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. We heard this voice tonight from God's word. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson. They shall be as wool. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That beautiful girl never made it. Perhaps she never knew the last part of the poem. You do. The devil will capture you and bait his sin. And if you listen to him, will be trampled and you'll be ruined and lost forever. May you come tonight to the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. Shall we pray? Father, with grateful hearts, we acknowledge the Lord Jesus. We see Him, our Father, as a crucified one on the cross for our sins. Thank Thee, O God, forever saving us. Thank Thee that He lives triumphant over sin, over our greatest fears and doubts. He is conquered and vanquished, vanquished every foe. We bless Thee. We praise Thee for our Lord Jesus. And soon, Father, we'll be falling at His feet. What a day to meet the wonderful Savior of sinners. And we'll love Him and love Him and love Him and love Him and love Him forever and ever. And we'll never get tired of loving Him. And we'll never get tired of praising Him. And we'll never get tired of singing unto Him who loved us, washed us in His own precious blood. Father, grant tonight a troubled soul in a Christian home. Awaken that girl, those boys. Give them to see that theirs is great light and they are going to be held responsible. If the Lord were to come tonight, or death were to take them away, we fear for them. And some of the Christians' children are not here tonight, Father, out in wayward paths. Remember that young man. Remember that young girl. Break the power of sin, we pray. Demonstrate